as we always do on a Tuesday morning, let's get checked in with our good friend from the Bloomington City Council. It is Councilman Tim Mayer. Tim, good morning. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine, thank you.
Have you been out in it yet, or just staring at it through a window in safe 70 degrees?
Staring through the window.
Yeah, that's a safe place.
Looking at the winter wonderland.
Well, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Thank you for being with us today. We, as always, appreciate your time. We heard from Adam Wason late last half hour telling us that the city's out taking care of their business, which is hardly a surprise here on a morning like this. It's a tough business where, again, it just doesn't show up where you want it to, when you need it to, and you just have to kind of be flexible and all that, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And you've been...
And city crews are out, so that's the important thing. It's not accumulating too much, though, at this point.
No, and the pre-treat is going to help things out if it starts to do so as well. But once this moves out, looks like, as we mentioned, we'll have at least on the precipitation side. It's going to get cold, but we're not going to have to deal with the precipitation until the weekend. So that's not bad at all. Keith, good morning. How are you?
I am wonderful.
Keith Klein joins us as always. Sorry, I know you were talking to Tim, getting him ready. I'm getting in closings and delays and forecasts and everything else. Well, it's December. It's radio in December. So, Tim, I know you guys don't have too much left to do at the City Council. What's on the agenda for tomorrow night's meeting?
Two simple pieces of legislation. One is to update our municipal code, the Unified Development Ordinance for Communication Facilities, and the other is to ratify the adoption of our 2017 salary ordinance. So, and tomorrow night will be a special session, which means we will start with a roll call and then get right down to work. The public is invited to participate in the legislation, but we will not have all of the messages and communications from council and public before the meeting, so before the legislative part of the meeting. So special session means we just get to work and get the work done. So the first one is an amendment to our Unified Development Ordinance, and that is to set down the parameters for off-site cell tower, those mini cell towers that we authorized back about a year ago. So that this will update that part of the ordinance. And, a few have gone up in the community. I know there's one out by College Mall. I saw one going up by Walnut and Vermilia, I think, in that area down in South Walnut. People can get an idea what they look like. They're basically a single wooden telephone type pole with an antenna on top, pretty small antenna, and then some electric boxes on the pole itself. So not a very pretty thing, but...
Well, if you want to be connected, Tim, you got to get connected.
That's correct.
Until they find a better way to do it, that's the way we have to do it.
Tim, that's with right. All the deregulation and everything that we're getting, cable and things like that, how much power does the city really have in this area?
We have very little discretion because it's really controlled by the state legislature.
That's
and
right,
state,
I thought, right.
State law, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we pretty much have to follow what they have, and what we do is, as a city, is we push as hard as we can to those parts of the ordinance that, you know, affect our community, and we want to make our community as nice looking as possible, so we try to push that as hard as we can within the law set down and the parameters set down by the state legislature.
So what will be the nature of the discussion tomorrow night?
It'll be really just that these are the amendments that our staff sees.
Okay.
To our benefit, and we should adopt them.
Rubber stamp.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, I will discuss it. It's not a rubber stamp. The other one is, and it's kind of interesting, is to ratify the adoption of the Ordinance 1626, which fixes the salaries of appointed officers, non-union, AFSCME employees for all cities.
I thought you did that already.
Well, we did, and just to show how legislation works, when we pass a piece of legislation at the end of the meeting, the city clerk presents to the city council president the ordinance, which the council president signs, the city clerk signs, and then those ordinances and resolutions that have been signed from that meeting are delivered to the mayor's office the next morning for their signature. Mm-hmm. And in this instance, there were a number of ordinances, because if you remember, this would be part of our annual budget. So somehow the salary ordinance got kind of lost in the shuffle, and the mayor did not sign it. The way a veto works, or mayoral veto works, is if the mayor is not going to, the mayor is going to veto, he just waits, he or she just waits 10 days and lets it expire. So what happened was, all the legislation went up to the mayor's office. The mayor signed all the legislation inadvertently, did not sign the salary ordinance. So we are going back to work tomorrow night, and we'll make it right. And nothing has been hurt, because this is 2017
right.
Salary ordinance. So nobody's pay has been disrupted or anything like that. But it's just one of those things that happens. And
is
what the legislative
happened,
fix. So.
Is what happened there, Tim, what they refer to as a pocket veto?
Well, the mayor was pretty funny about it. He says, actually, I've been in office for 11 months, and I vetoed two pieces of legislation. So.
There you have it.
Yeah.
That would be the parking commission that was vetoed.
Exactly.
And, but that came back. We know
and
that.
Both of them get reversed.
So
we're going to reverse both vetoes.
Yep. Yeah.
Setting a precedent.
Yes, exactly.
So then after tomorrow night's meeting, is it pretty much done till the new year?
No, there will be one more meeting next week, and I'm not sure at this point what form it will take. I suspect it will take... will be done in a special session, but I'm not clear yet on that. And that piece of legislation is basically to open the bids. It's not legislation per se. It's to open the bids for an initiative that the administration brought forward. And this is to accept a contract or open the bids for a contract for energy saving within municipal buildings and facilities. And we have done this before in the past under Mayor Fernandez and under Mayor Crisant. Basically, you work with a company that guarantees they will give you certain amounts of energy savings. And
right.
as long as that is accomplished, then they achieve their goals stated to you, the contract goes forward. If they are not performing, then the city actually is rewarded in payment back for them not being able to accomplish what they said they would accomplish. So it's actually a pretty good deal, and it's worked for us in the past, and there's no reason to think why it won't work in the future. So.
And if you leave the refrigerator open, you can leave the refrigerator open. You got a shot.
Yeah,
that's,
exactly.
That's how it works. Now, speaking of contracts and bidding out and the such, last week we heard the mayors talking about the new roadmap for fiber optics with the new company out of Canada. We heard about the angles of why that company was chosen. Can you give me some light on how the process worked out? We heard, well, other companies didn't do that. Was this a bidding process that was put out there? How does this work, Tim? Because I don't think that was really clarified where I read it, maybe in the newspaper.
Well, I think what you read in the newspaper is what I read in the newspaper. The council was not directly involved in that.
Okay.
In the mayor's initiative. So all the requests for information and all that was all processed through the mayor's office.
Now, I don't mean this flippantly, but so the mayor can just do what he wants in some of these situations.
In this situation, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it's not flippantly. It's, I mean, he has...
No, flippant for me. I wasn't being flippant in my comments.
No,
he can just come in and do whatever he wants to do. But this is he doesn't have to answer to anyone in something. But this is a big project, $50 million here. And that's just... that was strange to me. I didn't know procedurally how that went on.
Right. You know, I suspect that if, for example, there was an appropriation necessary to do that, and we had not already appropriated the money, say, for example, in the 2017 budget, if he needed an appropriation for that, then, of course, the mayor would come to the city council and request that appropriation. So I'm not, again, it's what I read in the papers, what you read in the papers.
Yeah, so. And it was just a procedural part, and I know you've been in government a long time to
That's
know how, kind of how these things work. And the point could be, you know, if I was mayor and my brother ran that company and I said, hey, we want you to work it, there's nothing you could do to stop me, right? Not saying I'm not even implying that's the case, but that's you can kind of do stuff like that. There's not a lot of oversight.
Well, I think there's public pressure.
That's it, though. I mean,
let's put it that way. Yeah.
Sure, there is public pressure.
Well, and also,
has been sold as a big, big deal and a huge, huge happening, and it's just kind of weird how it all just kind of popped up. There it is.
Well, yes, except, again, when you read the article, it's not really a done deal because they the company that will be doing the outreach, has to reach, in their mind, they have to reach a certain, what they call a take-up rate. So, that, you know, they have to feel comfortable that they're going to get X percentage of the market before they would ever go forward. So, and that's all part of the process.
Right. I guess I'm just used to all the meetings about the meetings about the meetings right. about these things happening.
I mean, we heard the same thing in when Smithville went into Blue Ridge and put in high-speed internet, and now we're hearing it from Smithville where they're going to the southeastern part of the community, those neighborhoods, and they have to get a certain take rate before they'll, you know, for obvious business reasons, if you don't have enough customers, it's not going to make any sense to make the investment.
Yeah, it's got to be profitable.
Yeah.
Tim, in the back of my mind, I may be really confused on this, but they've talked about...
You're sitting with me. It's okay.
Yeah, underground wiring and all of this other stuff and
fiber optic.
And I thought that there were RFPs that came in for doing that kind of
thing. What's an RFP before?
Request for proposals.
Okay.
Well... Again, it's what I read in the paper, so I'm not sure. Yeah.
I just thought there may have been some things on the desk and that this looked like the best RFP that was there and the mayor had the rights to move ahead.
Well, I think what this proposal offers is that they are not internet providers. They basically lay down the fiber, and then they rent the fiber to whoever wants to rent that fiber.
Whoever wants to shoot their stuff across the fiber.
And multiple people can use that fiber, so it wouldn't just be limited to, this company comes in, puts down the fiber. Then a internet provider comes along, call it Company A. They come along, and they can purchase part of that fiber or rent. I guess it would be a lease operation. They would lease that fiber then and be able to connect all their customers. But then Company B can come along and rent another part of that fiber and do the same thing. So it's, I'm trying to think of a parallel that you could use.
Like a toll road.
I'm sorry?
Like a toll road. Somebody builds it.
It is like a toll road in a way. Yeah.
Somebody builds it. Somebody operates it, and somebody's got to clean it and police it, do whatever else to it.
No, but then you can have multiple companies using the same infrastructure.
Oh, okay. Well, then that doesn't make sense.
I think that's the difference. I mean, you know, for example, you could get you can do this with all of the services now, but I mean, you could conceivably have a provider that provides only television, for example.
Right.
You know, as opposed to television, telephone, and internet service. Or you could have a provider come in and provide only internet service. So, but this infrastructure that conceivably goes into place will be available to multiple providers.
And in theory, that you would hope that would drive the cost down to everybody over time.
I guess that's true.
With all, if there's that competition to be on there, where it's just not going to be one person or one company on there.
I guess that's true.
Tim, when I was involved with the Telecom Council, one of the issues that came to play was that it's homes per mile. When they start talking about extending cable and putting fiber and all the other things, so that you could have a subdivision 2 miles from the other closest settlement, but it it's not profitable to extend the fiber for that 2 miles of nothing in between. So it didn't necessarily mean that when somebody had permission to lay fiber that they were going to put it everywhere. It's got to be a profitability factor for the number of potential subscribers, homes passed, etc.
That's true, and that also holds true for especially the rural areas,
right,
where there's, you know, very intermittent housing. You know, it's just too expensive for the provider to get it up. The return on investment is
correct.
Too low.
And Tim Mayer's our guest this morning. The city councilman checks in with this. Is this kind of uncharted territory in the sense because we don't really have anything to compare this to?
This particular proposal, I think, is very different from what we know, you know, where we have Comcast, AT&T, Smithville in our market. So,
and just from a quote-unquote utility standpoint, you don't fight about who the water company is going to be. You don't bid out who your electric company is going to be, but this is different. Should the council be involved? Should people be involved with this? Should this not be a job for one man, quote-unquote?
Well, I mean, this is different in that it's multiple services will be able to use the infrastructure. That is very different. So than the examples you cite, such as, you know, water, sewer, that sort of thing. So,
do we have any model cities that we can look at where this has happened and we can say, okay, this is how it worked there?
They cite some in the article, I think, Alberta, Edmonton, was it?
Well, that's where the company does
that's
it.
That's where they're from, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. I think it was Calgary, possibly, that they've done this. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Well, they can go through the frozen tundra.
Yes.
Be a little easier to dig around here. Tim Mayer's our guest this morning. The city councilman checks in with us on Tuesday mornings, gets us ready for his Wednesday evening meetings. And those times on their meetings are going to change come January.
Come the first of the year, our meetings will start at 6:30. So, and tomorrow's meeting, we will start at 7:30. And I believe next Wednesday's meeting will start at 7:30 as well.
You're not going to have a spring training practice meeting where you start an hour earlier just to confuse everybody?
No, I don't think so.
Public comment in any of this?
I don't think so.
Tim?
I'm sorry?
Public comment in any of these discussions tomorrow?
Public comment is always welcome on the legislation. And tomorrow evening being a special session, there will be no public comment before the actual legislation part of the meeting where people can get up and speak on issues that are not on our agenda.
Okay.
They can get up and talk about the changes to the salary ordinance and changes to the unified development ordinance, for sure. So,
okay.
That sounds good, Tim. Be safe out there. Don't be skating around and everything. Heck, it's almost the holidays. Take your time.
Well, I'm looking out the window right now, and the street appears to be clear, so the pretreatment is working.
Excellent job by the city. Yeah. Good stuff for you guys. And tomorrow night, 7:30, Council Chambers, you'll get it rolling. Thanks a lot, Tim. We appreciate it.
Great, and I'll get you up to date next week before the holiday.
And then we'll say au revoir for a little bit. Good stuff, my friend. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Take care, Tim.
Merry Christmas.
Yep, thanks.
Tim Mayer, city councilman, checks in every Tuesday morning before his Wednesday meetings, which I'm not going to mention what time they are anymore because they're going to change. And I've been confused for years, and why stop the confusement now? What does it look like, Keith? We got windshield wipers going out there. That guy
white
doesn't even
where the,
doesn't
no
have
traffic.
His lights on, so there he's all right. Again, it looks
white
like
on the grass.
The
streets are clear.
Looks fine and dandy there. You can see the difference in the Taco Bell parking lot of the tracks in and what's not there. So untreated places or perhaps less traveled places might be a little slick. We ask that you be careful. Getting to work, getting to school, and everything else. You're not going to save 2 minutes. It's not the morning to do so.
Watch the overpasses and the viaducts.
Sure. What's a viaduct? We don't have any viaducts here. Are we nuts? Where are viaducts?
I'm trying to think of what
Point out one viaduct in this town. Point out one. You can't do it.